and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be
forever.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what God had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had bore a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. When they were young, my children would often come to me with a request. They would want something or want to do something. And I tended to answer one of two ways. The first way was yes or I promise. And the second way was we'll see. We'll see came to be understood as no, but it wasn't always so. Sometimes we'll see did become yes. It's hard to predict which it would be, however. And it is a difficult thing to predict what will happen in the future. Here are some interesting predictions that were made in the past. Quote, telltale signs are everywhere. From the unexpected persistence of thickness of pack ice in the waters around Iceland to the southward migration of the warm, loving creature like the armadillo. Since the 1940s, the mean global temperature has dropped about 2.7 degrees. That was climatologist George Kukla of Columbia University, featured in Time magazine's article, Another Ice Age, June 24, 1975. Another one. If I had thought about it, I wouldn't have done the experiment. The literature was full of examples that said, you can't do this. And that was Spencer Silver on the work that led to the unique adhesives for Post-it notes. Third one. There is not the slightest indication that nuclear energy will ever be obtainable. It would mean that the atom would have to be shattered at will. This was Albert Einstein. 1932. Radio has no future. Heavier than air flying machines are impossible. X-rays will prove to be a hoax. That was William Thompson, a Lord Kelvin, British scientist, 1899. And my personal favorite. I think there is a world market for maybe five computers. Thomas Watson, chairman of IBM, 1943. This morning we have predictions, promises from God about the Messiah, that he will be born to a virgin and that he will be God with us. These are just a couple of many prophecies concerning the coming Messiah that Jesus fulfilled, such as his birth in Bethlehem, his living in the land of Galilee, his being referred to as that wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, and many more about his life, his death, his crucifixion, such as being sold for 30 pieces of silver, dying for the healing and forgiveness of his people, being betrayed by one of his inner circle, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, and being silent as injuries were flung upon him. You ever wondered, why did God put all these predictions in the Old Testament and then fulfill them? I don't think it was intended as proof about anything. These were not put in the scriptures to make skeptical atheists into believers. Such prophetic fulfillment can always be questioned in a number of ways. No, rather, it seems our Heavenly Father has put them there for we who believe. These are to be words of encouragement to us. They are promises of God, not to prove to the skeptic, but to encourage the believer. God was in this. God had a plan. God wants us to know that he is the one that's bringing it to pass. God has spoken to us by means of his Son. He wants to be known. Connecting with the Spirit-inspired prophets of the Old Testament grounds the life of Jesus in the life of God, and it grounds the believer in faith in God's plan and good purposes. The fulfillment of the prophecies demonstrates to us that God has a plan, that even when things seem to be going in a negative or catastrophic direction, he is at work to bring about good. Even when a virgin suffers disgrace becoming pregnant, when there's not room in the inn, when King Herod is seeking to kill the children, when the Messiah is crucified, even still, God has a plan. He's bringing about good. This morning, as we marvel at the words spoken some 700 years before Jesus was born, along with many others that came to fulfillment in the birth of Christ, we can be encouraged. For God is good for his promises. And unlike earthly fathers, he never breaks his word. The reminder this morning is that God has promised to prosper us. God has promised us such blessings in sending his Son. So as we see all that God has promised has come to pass, we can be encouraged as we read and trust his promises for us and for our lives. Promises such as Jeremiah 29:11-13. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. Or Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Or what we say every Sunday that are known as the comfortable words that come from Scripture, that if we come to Jesus, though we travail and are heavy laden, he will refresh you. That when we believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, we will not perish, but have everlasting life. That when we confess our sins, we have an advocate who will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That Christ Jesus came into the world for us to save sinners. Such promises find their meaning and fulfillment in what we're about to celebrate in just a couple of days. That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's easy to let scriptures simply be words to us. Perhaps words that we feel are exalted literature or inspiring stories or sublime poetry. Then they may make us feel good when we hear them, but still they can be to us just words. The reminder this morning is that God is not a God of just words or a God of we'll see, but a God of promises. And God's promises are certain to be fulfilled. The encouragement this fourth Sunday of Advent in this Christmas season is that the same God who said, "A virgin shall conceive Emmanuel," the same God who said the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem and wander about in Galilee, that same God that through John the Apostle spoke of his Son as being the light of life and offering us power to become children of God when we believe, that same God promises us life, forgiveness, and even to refresh us though we be heavy laden. That same God of promise, prophecy, and fulfillment is speaking into your life this morning and into mine with promises of love, joy, peace, with promises of great fulfillment, with promises of great plans to prosper your life. That God says to you this morning, not "we'll see," but "I promise." To him be the honor, glory, power, and praise, now and forever. Amen.
Please stand and let us affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, found on page 327 of the Book of Common Prayer. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall not know it. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and life of the world to come.
Amen. The prayers of the people are found on page 328 of the Book of Common Prayer. Please kneel. Let us pray for the